In the past, many clinicians associated head and neck cancer with a clinical scenario of patients with extensive alcohol and tobacco use and associated serious comorbidities, but an increasing number of younger, healthier patients are now being diagnosed. I met with Dr. Marshall Posner to discuss these important trends and key recent clinical trial results that have significantly improved the prognosis of these patients, particularly those with locally advanced disease. Dr. Posner began our conversation by commenting on current demographic trends.
The demographics are actually changing quite radically. In the past, most head and neck cancer was associated both with heavy alcohol and smoking intake. There were a few cases in younger people which were cryptic in their origin and tend to be fairly devastating. And of course, there's an older group of people who have premalignant lesions that develop into cancer that are probably related to environmental carcinogenesis or low-grade viral infections that they've had. But what's happened over the last decade and a half is a marked increase in base of tongue and tonsil cancer in young non-smokers, non-drinkers. The typical patient being somewhere between 45 and 55 years of age, arriving with a 2 to 3 year history of smoking in college, and now presenting with a painless mass in the neck that is found to be squamous cell or an identified primary in the tonsil or base of tongue in association with a painless mass in the neck. These are almost entirely HPV-16 positive, and in fact, 60 to 70% of all tonsil or base of tongue cancers in this country are being found to be HPV-16 positive or one of the other bad prognostic or carcinogenic HPV types that are actually found in the current vaccine. 25% of head and neck cancer is oropharynx that we're going to be seeing, and this is an increasing percentage. And this increase has now been going on for about a decade, and it's about 2.5% per year of the patients developing oropharynx. So it's going to be fairly big, and there's a large group of patients coming through. Beginning in the late 1990s, there were techniques developed to actually identify HPV-16 in tissues, and these, of course, led to some of the testing in cervical cancer that's been utilized, moved out of the laboratory, and actually there's a couple of laboratory companies that do testing now of tissues for you. And what happened during this period of time is that it became clear that HPV-16 was present in tonsillar and base of tongue cancers. There is some data suggests that it may infect oral tongue and larynx, but in point of fact, HPV-16 and cancer-causing HPVs are really almost exclusively found in the oropharynx, and some of the diagnoses outside of that area are really extension of the cancer anteriorly or posteriorly into the larynx or into the tonsil. It's really the specific tissue, and we don't know quite why.
Now, how is it transmitted?
Well, it's transmitted by sexual contact or exchange of saliva or perhaps even oral digital contact as well.
So presumably this is an oral causation?
Yes, there's a relatively high level of suspicion that this is caused by orogenital sex, increased sexual intercourse, partners. So if you have more than 10 or more partners, 15 or more partners in your lifetime, your risk is 4 or 5-fold higher than somebody with less than 5. And similarly, for oral genital sex, the risk increases at about 6 to about 9-fold greater than having no partners or a few partners.